find yourself emotionally bound up in a vested interest in something that you don't control. You will be able to let others do what they are going to do, confident that you can deal with a situation no matter which way it goes. In fact, this applies to any hope situation. Anytime you catch yourself saying, "Oh, I hope he doesn't do that," or "Oh, I hope things don't go that way," well, then you'd better take a break and utilize this technique. What will you do if it does go that way? You are in the position where you're emotionally dependent upon something that is out of your control, and you have no alternative plan of action ready to employ. You are vulnerable. So the only way to decrease that vulnerability is by taking the time to think through the worst and come up with an alternative plan of action. I might mention, incidentally, that to me there is nothing irrational or wrong with hope, per se. It is a perfectly natural concept. I would define hope as having a vested interest in something beyond your control. For example, suppose you decide that you're going to play tennis tomorrow morning if the sun is shining, but if it rains, you will stay inside. Well, both plans are acceptable to you, but there is no question that you would prefer to play tennis tomorrow. But since you don't control the weather, there is no way you can assure that you will be able to play tennis tomorrow, short of constructing a tennis court in your basement, which might mean that you would first of all have to construct a basement. But the point is then that you hope that it does not rain tomorrow, a perfectly reasonable vested interest in a situation that you can't control. It becomes detrimental only when you refuse to recognize the possibility that it might rain tomorrow, and thereby refuse to create the alternative plan of action that will be available to you if it does rain. On the other hand, to wish would be to try to make reality other than it is, simply by exercising your own mental desires. Once it starts raining, you try to wish that it wasn't raining, and you preoccupy your mind with what you would have done had it not rained, or else strain your brain wishing that it wouldn't rain, that it would stop or whatever, trying to make reality conform to your desires. And we'll come back to that, as a matter of fact, in another way. But first of all, I did promise you 10 common ways a decision can be perverted, didn't I? But just to show you that I'm a good guy, an altruistic businessman, and an all-around good fellow, I'm going to give you 3 more perversions, so you'll never be caught short, just in case any of these don't work out. So let's look at 3 more sneaky ways a decision can be perverted. Number 11 being the attempt to control others, as typified by the statement, "I ought to be able to convince him." This has been discussed before, and it will be discussed again, and it also has similarities to number 5, which is attempting to take the responsibility for others. In fact, for 6 hours now, I guess, I've been hammering on the theme that you control only yourself, but we haven't come close to exhausting all of the possible ways in which you can be lulled into thinking that you really do control someone else, control being defined as the ability to impose a predictable cause and effect relationship. And I also want this fallacy to be part of the list where it can be reviewed periodically. First of all, there's the situation where you have a product to sell, and you tell yourself, "I ought to be able to sell this if I just work hard enough at it and sell aggressively enough." But of course, that doesn't take into consideration the fact that other people may not want to buy it, no matter who is selling it and no matter how hard they work at selling it. There are 2 parties involved in every exchange, and you must do the best you can with that which you control. But you do not control the other individual, and he always has the right to say no if it doesn't fit into his desires. When I say right, I mean the ability, the power to do so. And then there's a case where you say, "Why can't I make him see that? What's wrong with me that I can't seem to make him understand?" Or the more obvious fallacy where you say, "Just leave it to me, I'll see that the others go along," that sort of thing. Of course, the similarity to fallacy number 5 in this case comes that you feel you are so intelligent that you ought to be able to make your marriage work, for instance, no matter what happens, or that you ought to be able to work out the animosities at the office, or that you should be able to be so diplomatic that no customer would ever get mad at you for any reason. Well, all of these attitudes are based on a lot more than what you should be able to do. Really, what you are saying is either that these other people should give up their desires to conform to what I want, or number 2, I should give up all of my desires to conform to what they want. And of course, neither approach is realistic, because each of you has his own desires, and the question is not how do you figure out a way that you can get along with each other, but the question is, should we even be trying to get along with each other? Maybe the product I'm selling isn't wanted by people, and it doesn't matter how hard I sell it. Maybe the woman I'm living with shouldn't be my wife, and we shouldn't